Scripture reading for this evening is Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature should take such a view of things, and if at some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained.
Well, good evening, everyone. When Dan asked me to preach this Sunday night, it was a few weeks ago, and I asked him, as you know, he usually gives a New Year's talk, kind of a pep talk, and I asked him if he was going to be doing that, and he said, no. So I said, great, I'm going to give a talk on optimism. And he said, go for it. So again, the topic is optimism, but more importantly, using the Bible and what it says about optimism. I'm going to have a lot of scriptures up, and they will be up on the screens, and we'll let God's word speak concerning this topic of optimism. I'm also going to be optimistic and say that it's not going to be as long as Dan's. Mine is only going to be about 20 minutes, but hopefully we'll get the point across. And so we read Philippians chapter 3. Pressing on to the goal, having that right attitude to accomplish it. And when we look at the history of the Apostle Paul, as he wrote to the Philippians, you know, he had a lot of things to be down about, especially after his conversion, what he went through, being stoned and ridiculed and shipwrecked. But there was a point in time before his conversion that he was down. On that Damascus Road, where 3 days and nights he fasted, he was blind, he was praying. In my view, I think he was praying, going through the scriptures and trying to fit the pieces together about what just happened to him. But for all the crimes that he had committed against the church and against God prior to that, they were forgiven. 100% forgiven. He was able to go forward and do the things that were right without letting the past interfere with the work that he had to do. And God gave him the power to do that. And God gives us that power, the gospel of God's power, the power to produce that faith to those with an open heart, want to hear it, the power to produce fruit, wanting to do the will of God, to hear it, to know it. And that power is also given to us as Christians if we let it work in us. And so in this sermon on optimism, I'd like us to think of a few things and try to resolve a few things as individuals. And one of them is to bury the past. This doesn't mean that we cannot learn from the past. We're supposed to. In Romans 15 and verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we might have hope. And Paul writes to the Corinthians, now these things happened unto them by way of example, and they were written for our admonition. We cannot change the past. The past is done and over with, just like Paul. But one of the things I'm trying to stress is we don't live in the past either. What did God tell Joshua in Joshua chapter 1? When he said, go to the land of promise. He stressed to be strong, to be courageous, not to tremble, not to be dismayed. Trust me, and it will, in the future, it will happen. Notice Joshua's attitude after God spoke to him. Immediately, he told his officers to prepare the people. They were going to go to the promised land. There was no ands, no ifs, no buts, and no delays. It was happening. Contrast that with the destructive attitude of Judas, who, because of his past mistakes, he cut his life short. And so, unlike Judas, we must not think that we have no more future. When we negatively reflect upon the mistakes that we made in the past, and I think we all can admit that there are some decisions that we made that were bad, or when we fail to forgive ourselves. And I want to stress this. Forgiveness is dealing positively with a negative past. One more time. Forgiveness is dealing positively with a negative past. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus told his disciples 7 times 70 they were to forgive their brother. But something we can't forget is forgiving ourselves and bearing the past. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul says that the time to consider is now. In an acceptable time, I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What he was expressing here was God was willing to pardon us, not only save us, but to pardon us, to show mercy. And the spirit that he put within our hearts should give us a deep reflection of ourselves, to show us our flaws, both in the past and the present, and that we can be forgiven. The decisions that we make are in the present tense. The actions that we do are in the present tense. And that's because we're in the present. But one of the things that I'd like to have us resolve is to look ahead. We must run that race as individuals and together. Run to obtain that prize. Run to become more perfect and ultimately to get us to heaven. Run with certainty, certainty that we will finish that race. And to run with discipline, with control, and with obedience to what God wants us to do. And I think it's safe to say that no one here has finished the race. If you think you have, then your attitude is of one of defeat. Does a runner in the middle of the race act as if he or she is finished? If they do, that's a defeatist attitude. That's something that Christ does not want us to have. He or she is not finished until the race is ended. Obtaining that prize, and if it's not a medal or a trophy or a ribbon, it's the prize of finishing the race with certainty and with discipline. Hebrews 12:1 tells us, lay aside every weight and every sin that easily ensnares us. That's even past sins. It says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Again, that's looking ahead. Why would we not think that God can still use us today? Romans 8, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And again in Romans, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So we have to look ahead. We have to look toward the future with optimism and with enthusiasm. In the Philippian letter, the Apostle Paul says once again, "And reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And again, he tells the Corinthians, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. We do not stop until the race is done." And so, let us resolve, number two, to put our complete trust in God and in Christ, renewing that trust this year. Because we know that Christ makes all things new. We are a new creation. Behold, all things have become new. John tells us in the Revelation, "Behold, I, God, make all things new." And so we know that all things are possible if we abide in Christ Jesus, because we do have that unshakable kingdom. With reverence and godly fear to serve him. God has given us the perfect pattern to live this life. And so, do we believe Peter when he says that God has given us all things which pertain to life and godliness? Do we believe Paul when he says all scriptures will make us complete, thoroughly furnished for every good work? So if God has done his part, where does the problem lie? Will we be optimistic? Will we be ready to help? Will we be ready to cooperate with one another? Be optimistic. To the pessimists, the doors have locks, they have latches, and it's hard to get in and out. To the optimists, the doors have handles, and they have hinges that can be opened up easily. And that's what we have to do. And again, in the Philippian letter, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward, I press toward the goal. And that word in Greek, press toward, means to pursue. But it's a special type of pursuing. In Thayer, it's a hostile pursuit. Aggressive. It is something that you want badly. That's the race. We badly want to finish that race, to be with God in heaven. What does that do for us? Let us have this mind. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us have the same mind. Helping one another. Being optimistic. Look positively at the future through Christ. Not looking back. Not resting on our past laurels. Not bemoaning our past failures. But as Paul said, forever reaching forward. Because that is the mark of spiritual maturity. All the while living up to the standards that Christ would have us have to attain that same rule and to attain that same mind. So let us resolve to work as if this year were our last. What would you do if this is your last year? Or how about this is the last year of the existence of this congregation? If that was the case, would you say, okay, away with any and all excuses, you know, charge forward? Or would you fall back to, well, I'm not perfect, or I don't have the talent, or, you know, I've failed too many times, Or, you know what? Others just won't listen to me. Earlier, the Apostle Paul said that the Old Testament scriptures were written for our admonition and for our learning. So I want to go back to the Old Testament scriptures. Let's learn from Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4. God told Moses, go and talk to the people. Go and talk to Pharaoh. Tell him to let my people go. What was Moses' comeback? Moses said, who am I to go and talk to him? God said, I will be with you. Talk to Pharaoh. Talk to the people. Moses said, what will I tell them when they ask me what your name is? God said, tell them the great I am sent you. Moses says, well, what if they don't believe me? What if they're not going to listen to me? God says, I'll show the people miracles. Moses then says, well, you know what? I'm not the greatest talker in the world. I'm not the best with words. God said, I'll be with your mouth. I'll teach you what to say. Moses finally says, please send somebody else. I'm not the guy to do this. And we read that God got a little angry. He says, take Aaron with you. I'll speak to you. You tell Aaron. Aaron will tell the people. God accepted no excuses from Moses. What makes us think that he's going to accept any excuse from each and every one of us? So let us work heartily and with all our might. Because Paul tells the Colossians, and whatever you do, do it heartily. As to the Lord and not to men. And again in Ecclesiastes, wherever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. We must remember God in whatever we do, because it's to his praise and it's to his glory. So it's a time for optimism in this sermon on optimism. It was the shortened version of something that Dan would give. Again, let us resolve. Let's bury the past. Let's look ahead. Let's put our complete trust in Christ again. To work as if this year is our last year. No excuses, pure optimism, and pure enthusiasm. There's your New Year's prep talk. We'd love to help you with your optimism. If you're a child of God and you find that you're not enthusiastic as you used to be, you're not as optimistic for yourself or for this congregation, we'd like to pray for you. If you're not a child of God and you are enthusiastic about the Word of God, you want to be optimistic about your life and going to heaven, we'd love to help you also. We want to achieve the goal of being right with God as a child of God, or if you're not a child of God, either way. And so we sing an invitation song that gives you an opportunity to do just that, to let us know any of your needs. We'd be happy to help as we stand and we sing the invitation song.